Lord is in this place this morning. We declare his goodness. We declare his passion for what he wants done to happen in us. And we just magnify that word yes in our lives. Yes, Lord. So we agree with his design for us. What he wants us to be, we want to be. Because anything else won't make it. Yeah, we think we're making it, but really we're just kind of slowly deteriorating. So we've been following Isaiah's admonition from God to prepare ourselves in this month to enter into a partnership that is dramatically greater in significance than we have known to this point. We are focused by the Father on fields that are white unto harvest. And we say yes to however he wants us to facilitate that harvest, whether we actually go face to face with people, whether we are speaking to groups of people, whether we are preparing the atmosphere through our intercession, whether we are protecting the atmosphere that has been established. However it is that God is directing us, that's what we are saying yes to. And certainly to be able to say yes to the Lord for these things that are before us in the field, we have to have said yes in our own heart. We have to have received that chastening. We have to have received those things that have been difficult and allowed the Spirit to show us those things that have to be transformed. And so as we are transformed, we become those that are able to facilitate. And like it was spoken of this morning, like the clay on the potter's wheel, we receive that pressure from the hands of the potter to be formed, knowing that at that moment, we are what needs to be, and that there will be a continual pressing to transform us into vessels of honor, as well as vessels of service. And so we like whatever God's doing in us, though it looks terrible from the outside. And there will be people who criticize what they see, and they'll think, that's not right, what you're doing. And we say, it may not look right to you, but I've received from the Father this directive, and I'm going to stick with it, no matter what opinion of man comes against me. So this transformation, this preparation that we have been giving ourselves and participating in is not just for us, but it's for those that we come in contact with, those that are going out to bring numbers of people as groups into the movement of understanding the relationship of sons to the Father and what he wants to do through them. So we have prophetically offered obedience to the things that we have gleaned from God and what he is saying to us as a continual revelation of his desire and the things that he's wanting to do in this time, in this day, to bring about what we know is coming in the end times. And with this continual revelation of what he wants to do, we are being aligned with that secret place of thunders in the throne room. We are there being prepared through voices that has been our weeping, which we have studied as the baka. And as the verb describes what is happening, it has to do with our identity and the purpose of who we are to speak to. We want people to know their purpose. We want people to understand their relationship with the Father and to expand in that and to grow into that. And so it has been and continues to be our appeal that we will be the purpose of God and that his purpose would be done. We would be those who will carry the burden of the Father. And this is our mission. We are going to the nations to teach the responsibilities of what mature sons are to be. And so we are being instant, in season and out, to really go hard after God's purpose so that it's fulfilled. We want it to be fulfilled. He wants us to partner with him to fulfill that. And that is how we move forward. It is amazing to me, as I consider all this, how that God could do everything that he's asked us to do on his own. His power and authority is above all. And he has chosen in the wisdom of all of that to make us the ones to carry out what is in heaven here on earth. Because of that concept, we have that full measure of what agape is. And without that, we're just mechanical. We don't want to be mechanical. We want to be functioning out of the passion for the heart of the Father. So in this past week, we have been in mourning. And it's been from that secret place of thunder where we have given ourselves to whatever God has intended. We are saying, yes, we will do it. Yes, however that applies for me, that's what I want. And we are here to bring fulfillment to what is not. The things that are not, we are here that they would become. And so mourning is not a sadness, but is a longing for what is not to become what is. So this is where we have embraced the directive of Adonai to take responsibility for the next possibility of what he wants to do. We want to fit into God's plan as his partner. And it all starts with our agreement and our submission and our presentation of who we are, our full identity before his throne, and saying, here I am, send me. Send who you have made me to be into wherever you need me to go. You know, he's not done with us yet. I've seen that bumper sticker, be patient, God's not done with me yet. Yeah. God's not done forming us everything we're supposed to be. So where we are now, is not a place to wait and say, okay, I'm waiting for God to finish. It is saying, what I have now, I'm going to be applying to whatever is in front of me. I know scriptures. I know his intent. I know what he wants to do. And so I am going to be ready to fulfill that. And so we call for the activations of the promises that have been laid in us before the foundations of the world. He has a design for us, and we want that design to be fulfilled. And so I think every morning we should wake up saying, Lord, let that design be fulfilled in me. Whatever you have for me for this day, let that be fulfilled. Let it come to fruition. Let that design be made or put together in that point where you need me to be for today, this morning, this hour. Where do you want me to be? And let not the things of this world sidetrack me from where you want me to be. God wants us to be intercessors. And so there has to be an on-purpose determination in our heart to be intercessors, to set aside that time to know that we are going to partner with God at that moment, and we're going to keep that appointment. Because why? It's important. It's who we are made to be. God is looking for us to be there because he's got stuff that has to be fulfilled. And he's counting on you to be the one through which it comes. So our declaring or our asking for whatever it is that we have been made for from the beginning of time, be available now for what he wants done. Because we are saying yes. And so Adonai has called us to Barak. and to mourn or mispair. And now we come to that curious thing of baldness. Baldness has to align with the miracle pathway that God has set before us. And this place of baldness is going to be that place of striking, of lightning coming forth. You know, we are being sent forth apostolically, and we are going to move as quickly as arrows into the places that God has made appointments for. And what happens at that point where we hit His timing and His target that He's set for us is going to be phenomenal. It is going to destroy the enemy's stronghold. It is going to weaken his structure. It is going to undermine whatever he has shored up. We are overcomers. That doesn't mean, I am not going to give in to that temptation. It means that I am going to ruin what enemy has trying to do. I am the agent through which this change is going to come to his kingdom, because it's really not his. We're taking it back. This has been our driving force from day one, to realize that the enemy can't hold on to what has been given to us to rule and to reign over. We just have to know we got to do it. We just have to know that when we go, it will be done according to the Lord's will, when we are responding according to His directives. So this baldness is God's design, given by Moses. It again indicates the successful completion of a Nazirite vow. And really, when you think about when the Nazirite vow was finished, that there was that shaving of the head, creating a baldness, which meant that there was a new beginning. A new hair was going to come. There was a new texture, a new covering that was going to come. And that old, which symbolizes the promise of the Nazirite vow, was to be offered. And so when we look at the word Nazirite, we see it is the word Nazir. And that's on your sheet there, how it's spelled. And it is used to indicate a separation or a consecration. It represents the figure of an unpruned vine, like the unshorn head of a Nazirite participant. I thought that was very interesting, because the vine has been a part of the kingdom, example. It is the fruit of the vine. It is the way the vine grows and spreads that is part of the kingdom. And so this Nazirite vow is really letting that position of growth or of pruning cease. And the vine then grows wild and without direction, without cultivation. And so truly, this was the concept of the hair of being on the head of the one taking the vow. And this is part of the definition of what that Nazir is talking about. So the word Nazir wasn't first used as a Nazirite vow. It was used to indicate separation. You can look this up, but I didn't put it on your scripture sheet because I just wanted to direct you to understand that this word Nazir, that is translated as Nazirite, was used to recognize what happened to Joseph Now, when Jacob called all the sons in, and each one he blessed with a blessing. And when he came to Joseph, he recognized that Joseph had been separated from his brethren. And this word that he used to talk about that separation was this word, Nazir. I thought that was really interesting, because this concept of the Nazir has to do with setting ourselves apart, being separated to a task that has been set before us, and to stay with that task until it is finished. And nothing that has to do with grooming is to interfere with the fulfillment of that task. And so here is Joseph, totally taken out of his family, so there was nothing he could do that had to do with the grooming of his family. He had nothing to do with his family. He was totally out of the picture. He was separated. So that's an interesting concept of the word Nazirite, of how that is to be functioning in our relationship to the Father. And it's calling for us to be bald. And so now there is another time where this word Nazir is used. And I didn't put it in the scripture as well, because I just wanted us to know that it is the Levitical instructions given by God through Moses about the Sabbath. Yeah, I did put it. It's your scripture, Numbers 6, 1 through 3. Okay. And this is the second time this word Nazir is used, and in instructions given by God through Moses about the Sabbath of the seventh year, to leave the grapes of the vine undressed or uncultivated. And so let's look at Numbers 6, 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate and do wonderful things. I didn't put that in there. That's a different verse. So sorry. Okay. So anyway, let me retract what I was about to say and redirect you to the fact that this Levitical instruction given by God for this grapes of the seventh year is undressed, and that undressed is the word Nazir. Okay, so it speaks of don't go in and cultivate, let that just go, and that was not to be harvested at all. So here again, it's a concept of leaving it alone, of not cultivating anything else, but focusing on what the promise of the vow is. Now we get to the first use of the word Nazir as a noun. These others two were adjectives that are verbs. Not adjectives. I didn't do well in English. Okay, we're verbs that talked about what that was all about. And this really is the noun form of Nazirite, the Nazir. So Numbers 6, 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate, and that word is not our Nazir word, but it is to do wonderfully, themselves to vow a vow of a Nazirite, and that's our word, Nazir, to separate. Now that is a different word. And we'll get to that in a minute. To separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. No raisins. So here we have this concept of the Nazirite vow. And it is about focusing on what has to be done, and not participating in the vine, anything that the vine does. And I'm seeing how this is kind of fitting together with the hair, the vine, taking care of the vine, the Sabbath, and letting it go, not pruning it, not cultivating it, but focusing on the year of the Lord, what the Lord has done, what the Lord is doing. And so this unpruned vine was about how they were to abstain and be separated from all things that had to do with their sustenance. And the fruit of the vine, certainly it came into play later on, and the Lord attached great meaning to that. But this separation is interesting because it is nazar. And basically, it is talking about that kind of focus that lets something go while there is a focus on something that is very, very important. So this truly captures the saintly capacity to function as mature sons of God, apart from the typical lifestyle of those around us. And those around us would be those who aren't functioning in sonship, those who haven't seen how they are to have a relationship with the Father, and I found themselves being content with just going through motions. So think about it. We are those who have been called out in a Nazarite way to be separated as the ecclesia. It is here that we are ceasing from our own labors as those who are planting vineyards and pruning them and harvesting them. And we are trusting God for His provision. And we are not concerned about our appearance as the hair might grow. And we are going to do what God has asked us to do, no matter what it looks like. We go out apostolically as lightning. And I was thinking about the dynamics of lightning. And it happens so quickly that we can only buy, unless it flashes right in front of our eyes, we only see the results of it, right? And we had lightning hit out here at this tree, and the results were amazing. And the current just traveled right through the whole place and caught every wire we had and burned things out. It was awesome to see the power of lightning. That's what has been released. That's who we are being released into the enemy's camp. We are quick. It is a matter as we go. We're not concerned about how it looks. We are concerned that we have gone, and then what happens is God's design. So we are, as Jesus said, to let the dead bury the dead. We are not to, when we're following Christ, when we're following His ministry, things will fall into place. And we don't have to concern ourselves about how that appears. We just do what He has told us and let what God wants appear. And so when we take a Nazarite vow, it is about our pursuit of something that God has laid before us to partner with as responsible sons. So when this Nazarite separation is fulfilled, there is to be a sacrificial balding. And this is what Isaiah is talking about in his chapter 22. This sacrifice of balding is to go along with a ram and unleavened bread as a peace offering. And that's in Numbers 6:18. It's just down from where we were reading. And the Nazarite, that's our Nazar, shall shave the head of his separation, Nazir, at that door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation and put it in the fire which is under the sacrifice of the peace of offering. So The word shaved here is the word, you got to kind of get some phlegm for this. Achach. Don't back up. I'm not going to spit. And it is to commit to laying waste or laying aside or getting rid of the last covering of the fulfilled vow. And what it is declaring is that the vow has been fulfilled. It has been finished fully. And now what was a commitment to that vow is now set aside, is now shorn off. And now there is a baldness which says it's to move forward in the new thing. And it says this is the law of his separation. The separation is a process of that Isaiah speaks of, that we are to be functioning in. And in the 12th verse, read that again. We've read before in other times. It says, in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. So this baldness is something God is calling us to. And this is what we want to this week participate in. Being called to this baldness for us speaks of about fulfilling a separation of who we have been called to be to who we are going to be. So our time this week is going to be acknowledging and remembering who we have been, and then taking that hair, so to speak, and moving it aside and making a sacrifice of that in the offering of peace. Now, being called to be bald really is about how we are moving forward from that moment that we were born again. When God kindled our spirit that he has placed within us. That confession of our faith, that being born again, was a Nazarite vow. And this vow is a promise to do and give all that we are to God for what he wants to do. And so, as we mature, as we transform in the Spirit, we are continually offering that sacrifice of peace. You're offering that sacrifice of success that we have accomplished, that we have fulfilled, and we are moving forward. The word balding is speaking of not just the lack of hair, but it indicates a commitment to this new beginning. And it roots back to a word that is karach, which is to remove the hair of the head as to offer as a burnt offering. And this burnt offering is part of our thanksgiving. And it fits the narrative of what it was to go through the valley of decision, that point of Selah, to work through the vow that there would be a coming to a point of God's glory, to be transformed from glory to glory. We go from glory to glory through the valley of decision, through that point of we have to fulfill the vow. And at that point where we come to his glory, that fulfillment is that point where we sacrifice what has been there that we have, that indicates our direction, indicates our vow, and we say, okay, now at this point of glory, I am ready for the new thing. I sacrifice what I have left, what has been provided for, what has come of my time in the valley. Now I am ready for the new thing, for the next transition. So this balding that Isaiah is saying, God is calling us to, is to say that we have been successful in keeping our vow, and we offer evidence of that success in this peace offering. Now, this word peace for this offering is the word shalem, not shalom. And shalem speaks of a sacrifice of thanks. And it comes from the word shalim, which talks about being safe or completed. So this being safe, this being completed, this having accomplished all that God has intended for us, is that point where we are able to sacrifice. And it is the acceptance of what we have become and readiness to move forward from there in a new thing that God has prepared. So this is the next place of glory. And so to function in this baldness is to be expressive of our thanks for the provision of the vow. We say, yes, Lord, we know that God will provide, and our vow is to stay separated from the things that would pull us away from what God has destined us to be. And so our position becomes that point where the provision of God demonstrates our place of the vow. And this is what we sacrifice. We take His provision and we say, this represents my completion. Your provision, your strengthening of me. And so this is what balding is. And this is what we lay on the fire of the sacrifice of our thanksgiving. And this is the point of our complete fulfillment of what God has prepared for us to be when we have said yes. So literally, our bald head is that place of new beginnings. And this is where it gets interesting. We are functioning in this Nazarite vow of baldness. We are always moving forward. We are always coming to a point where we are ready to take the new thing. So that means that we have been faithful. And our thanksgiving in all things is saying, I surrender. And that's that concept of dying to self, of putting ourselves on the altar as living sacrifices. And we are moving from glory to glory as lightning. We are moving fast. We are moving brightly. Our work is devastating to the enemy. And so each point of promotion for us is this new beginning, and requires the shaving of the old so that the new can begin. And this is what we have found in fasting. Our fasting is to change us so that we are ready to move forward. We fast in meekness and humility so that God can change who we are. And we're not trying to change God. We become fulfilled in our promise, and we see the path to move forward in the miraculous. So this balding represents a fresh vow of our commitment to let the things of this world go and become whatever God has prepared us to be. You know, it's interesting. When Elisha witnessed Elijah being taken to heaven in a fiery chariot with fiery horses, he became overcome with grief. And it says that he ripped his clothes into pieces before he went and picked up the mantle of Elijah. Now, it doesn't say that he did anything else in grief, but here's something that I found, and I'm just putting pieces together and just to think about, is that it was customary to demonstrate grief in those days by the shaving of the head or cutting the beard. I mean, that's what they did often. Not all the time, I guess. But it was shortly after this that he was traveling up to Bethel. He had just been at the city and healed the waters with a cruse of salt and made it right. So he was going up to Bethel, and it says children came out of the city and mocked his bald head. So, you know, whether he had a bald head before this time or whether this was part of his grief, it just seems to me that this mocking was not about the fact that he didn't have any hair. It was the fact that he represented the new thing God was doing. He was the double portion of Elijah. And so this mocking from the children, it had to do more with their understanding of what he represented than the fact that they were just being mean kids. And so what backs this up is the fact that the reaction that he had, he turned on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And it wasn't too much longer than that. Then two she-bears came out of the forest and devoured 43 of them. So what does that say? That says that this baldness was the newness that he was walking in that had transpired at that point where Elijah had thrown down or had, you know, the mantle of Elijah had fallen, and he picked that up. And so it perhaps was that point where he had shaved his head of who he used to be, and now he was a double portion. I think this demonstrates, or this is an illustration of who we are. And we are going to get that kind of mocking. And I'm not saying that we're going to need to curse people who do that so that they'll be eaten up by wild animals. But I'm just saying that we will be mocked, and those who do the mocking will find destruction in their own lives. The curse has already been set. We represent God's purpose. We represent His ways. We represent the new thing that He's to do, and those who come against the new thing will not prosper. That's been declared by the Scriptures. That's the curse that's on them already. If they're not following in the new thing that God's doing, that God wants, they're not being that Nazarite, if they're not being separated from the things that they seek after to make their life good and let that go and let God provide, and we sacrifice that. We say, all my provision is from the Lord, and whatever is there, I sacrifice His provision to let me go forward. So this is a serious thing. We don't mock what God's trying to do. We don't shun the newness that He's brought upon us. We stand in the baldness. And we say, we will be faithful to the vow. We are ready to fulfill, and we have fulfilled, and what's next we are ready to do. We have been faithful to come to this point in our ministry where we understand a great deal more about God's heart than we ever have before, and now it's time for us to move forward in the new thing. We're not here to relax and say, okay, we found it, we're here, let's just kind of, you know, enjoy what God has given us and understanding. He's saying, okay, now that you've come to this point, let's move forward. Let's be bald. Let's sacrifice that hair, that vine, and put that on the altar of a sacrifice of peace, and let us move forward. This balding is about being ready to move in the new thing that God's doing. And He's preparing us to move into the next point of His glory. And we know that the glory of the Lord is something that He protects. He watches over. He protects those who are bringing it. He provides for those who are bringing it. We cannot rest on what God has provided. We sacrifice that. It would require us to move through the valley of the Selah, of the decision, so that we will fulfill and be ready to move again. This means that we need to bring, to be doing whatever is necessary to accomplish something that require more than we thought we had to give. There's more to us than we ever think we have. God knows that. He is doing things in you to cause you to realize that. So our peace offering is of a completion, is really saying, whatever it has taken for me to complete this assignment, I offer it now in thanksgiving to you. And I am ready to move into the new thing that you have prepared for me to be and to do. However that looks. So this call to be bald is really about shaving off the glory of our past, so the new thing of God's glory can come forth in us. It is this that will prepare us to prepare the people that we are sent to receive this fresh understanding, this movement of sonship, and to accept the work of the saints. So this karach, this baldness, is a call on each of us to lay upon the foundation of our weeping and our mourning to do the new thing. To go into the nations and show them the heart of the Father. Amen. Father, we thank you for this direction for us. We thank you that you are always revealing your heart in new ways. We thank you for the provision. And we stand now at the altar and we lay down everything that we have been receiving, that we might pick and hold the new thing and move forward in it. That's lightning. We thank you, Father. I speak blessing over this congregation, over the saints around the world, that this would be a time of fulfilling completely the vow and ready to move in accord in new ways. We thank you for all that you have prepared for us, and we look forward to that time of partnering with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.